All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Welcome back to the Hackberry House, a daily podcast that's devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 131. It's April the 20th, 2015. Today, what was it that God got God's revelation to us? What was the method that God used to get what was in his heart down to his people? We believe that method is inspiration. Jesus is the fullness of the Word of God. He's the living Word of God. He is God's communication to us. But the written Word, which is all about Jesus, is also living and authoritative. We often use the Bible to settle theological disputes, but it's important to remember that the Bible speaks not only of theology, but about itself. The scripture proves the scripture. Let's examine the passages which do this first, okay? 2 Timothy 3:16, the most famous of these passages about inspiration. 2 Timothy 3:16. Now, I'm quoting it in its context here. I don't like taking verses out of their context, but I've put a couple other verses with it so you can see the whole picture. And this is from the New King James Version. Starting in verse 15, from a child, and this is Paul the Apostle speaking to Timothy, a younger man. He says to Timothy, from a child, from childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures. And those holy scriptures, Timothy, are able to make you wise for salvation. Doesn't say that they will save you, but they'll make you wise. You know, the scripture points out of itself. It wants us to follow it, but it also points us beyond the scripture to the living Word, Jesus himself and the Holy Spirit. But when you read the scriptures, you will be made wise to salvation, which is through faith, that faith which is in Christ Jesus. That's all verse 15, a little bit of addition there. Verse 16, all these scriptures that you've been reading since you were a child, it's all given by inspiration of God. And it's all profitable, Timothy. It's profitable for your teaching when you need to teach your people. You can use the scriptures. The scriptures are profitable for reproof. If somebody in your church goes off the wrong way, you can bring the scriptures before him and correct him with that. Correction is another thing. Instruction in righteousness. So anything you need is found in the scripture. So that the man of God, that's you, Timothy, the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Anything that the pastor, the teacher, the Bible leader of any sort, anything that he needs to do in the church in terms of leadership, he can use the scriptures for. Now, the verse in question will stand as translated by the NKJV, as I just read it, all scriptures given by inspiration of God. But Boyce, who I have been following in this entire study, James Boyce, he's the late theologian, but what an incredible man this man was, who wrote The Foundations of the Christian Faith. And I've been following his outline, his book. I've made it into an outline for myself. And just point by point, I'm taking not word for word what he says, but just the general outline of what he says I'm using and filling it in with other things that I'm finding. And he brings out that this translation given by inspiration of God is not the best. Though it's better than the King James, the standard, which says is inspired by God. This latter idea, inspired by God, could lead a person to believe that God started the process of inspiration. But a man can pick it up from there and go his own way with it. And that's what a lot of people do. They let the Bible get them started, but then they do their own thing with it. Hey, I could be inspired by an athlete. I could be inspired by, say, a soccer player. I could use the principles that that soccer player uses in my game of basketball. That's clearly not the idea given us by that Greek word, theopneustos. Theopneustos. You can see theo, theology, God, and pneustos, pneumatic drill, air, God breathed. That word, theopneustos, means God breathed. The entire content of all of Scripture is the very breath of God, according to an apostle in whom that very breath was working all the time. This was the belief of the Jews who received that word. Did you know that? The Jews were very, very much into the infallibility of Scripture. Those who read it were taught, and they believed that what they were looking at was the very, very word of God. All the Jews raised in under Judaism. The book is holy. It's the very voice of the very God. I want you to note that there's no verb in the first part of that verse. It doesn't say, as we have it, is inspired by God or given by. It's not there. It just says all Scripture God breathed is profitable. It goes on to the latter part of the verse. But that first part of the verse in the Greek simply says all Scripture God breathed. Okay? It matches what Jesus said, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It proceeds out of the mouth of God. The words of Scripture proceeded first out of the mouth of God, into the ear of a prophet who wrote it for us, or into the ear of an apostle who wrote it for us. Now, the concept of a God-breathed word, oh my, it's been fought. It was fought from the beginning. In Genesis 2:16, will you go there? 2:16 and 17, and then Genesis 3, verse 1. Familiar verses. And the Lord God commanded the man, Adam, saying, now out of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. Why? In that day you'll die. The day you eat that fruit, you will die. This is interesting. I don't know why I hadn't seen this thing before, but did you know? Did you understand? Did you realize this was before the creation of Eve? Eve was not on the planet. This commandment came to Adam. Eve was still inside of Adam, so to speak. And so really it was for her. And somehow he communicated it to her, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Let's go to chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. So cunning, so smart, so, wow, that he could talk. I know you have trouble with that. Everybody has trouble with talking snakes and talking donkeys in the Bible. But do you know that that never happened? Are you sure? No, no, you look around the earth today, you won't see anything like this. True. But does that prove anything? We look around and we don't see a whole lot of stuff going on in our church, and we think that's the normal church. No, not necessarily. You need to read a little bit about the church in other places and see that maybe God's doing stuff in other churches that he's not doing in your church because you don't believe he can do anything in your church. And so he doesn't do it. People aren't getting saved in your church, but they're getting saved in many places, not only throughout the world, but here in the United States. Why aren't they getting saved in your church? Well, that's a little sidebar there. Point being that just because you've never seen a talking animal doesn't mean they don't exist or didn't exist. We know why this snake has gone south. You know, we know why the curse came and how it came and how that stopped that talking for one forever. Are they still pretty cunning? They're pretty clever, these snakes. I don't like being around them at all. Maybe some people do, but the serpent was cunning. The serpent was smart. And the devil, we know from reading other scriptures that it was Satan himself who had entered that particular animal and was speaking through him. We know that. But he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you will not eat of every tree of the garden?" There it is. Has God said? That idea, that challenge is from the beginning. It's from the beginning and it's lasted until now, where Satan is going to question every word that you read in the Bible. You read it and you think, is that true? And if God really illuminates something to you, and in your prayer time you're thinking, oh, this is so wonderful, I really believe this, don't be surprised if later on that very day the challenge comes to you. Did God really say that to begin with? Did he say it to you? Are you sure? The doubts begin to come. That's the enemy territory that you're on at that point. Now, the command was easy enough to understand. It was given to Adam before Eve came along. We're led to believe that it was Adam and not God. I don't know that. Now, this is speculation here. I'm led to believe that it was Adam that communicated the message to his new wife, his only wife, by the way. He communicated that message to her himself, and God did not have to because he had already communicated it to Adam. That's how Adam becomes the head. Didn't she trust her husband? No. Was there not enough respect for a word that came out of another human being? Is this why Satan went right to her, knowing that Adam's revelation was from heaven and valued more? You see, if he went to Adam, I'm saying that Adam, having received a revelation directly from God, is not going to let it go too quickly. Or at least I'm led to believe that. So at least that's what Satan perhaps thought, and didn't go to Adam, but he went to Eve, not just because of her weaker nature, but because she didn't fully believe something that had come through a human being. There are parallels today. This is what I'm getting at. God hasn't spoken with his own voice to mankind recently. We're dependent on human beings who have received revelations from him, the apostles, the prophets. We're dependent on them. And through the Holy Spirit, though, we're led to believe these apostolic words and to refuse all others. For those who are not tuned in to the Spirit of God, most any man's words will ring true. Herein is the entrance of false teachings in the world. We must beware. We must walk closely and humbly with our God, because he has spoken through people. Let me tell you what inspiration is not. The word we use to describe the breath of God's Spirit infusing the heart and mind of a messenger, that sounds all wonderful, and it is. But it's used in a number of ways, the word is, inspired, ways that have no connection to the real meaning. Let me run through these quickly and then we'll be finished for today. Inspiration is not genius, the property of a smart man. Smart people won't condemn themselves, as the Bible most surely condemns the human race. They wouldn't come up with a salvation that's outside of themselves, as the world does. They wouldn't come up with such a judgmental God, I mean, as the Bible does. They wouldn't come up with such a judgmental God who demands that sin be atoned or all sent to perish in hell. We wouldn't come up with that. Smart people wouldn't do that. Inspiration is not simply the thoughts of the writers, good men who imagined good things. Almost 4,000 times the Bible says, "Thus says the Lord." Now, one cannot have a thought without words. In other words, these are just the thoughts of the writers, and they just communicated their thoughts. Now, eventually, you're going to communicate it. The words that came forth through the messengers of God were God's very words, not just men's thoughts. Thirdly, inspiration is not always inspiring. That is, it doesn't always zap the reader. The chronologies recorded in Genesis and Chronicles and Luke, they're all inspired of God. They're not the easiest and most refreshing of readings, but they came from God for us. Some people really do get blessed reading a chronology as they see the hand of God in human history. Fourth, inspiration does not imply a partial breathing of God. God doesn't speak spiritual truths while at the same time speaking historical lies. You've seen people who approach the Bible that way. Well, the Bible's a spiritual book, and there's a lot of truth we can get out of it, but we don't want to have to believe all the history and the science. Well, yes, we do. Yeah, God doesn't lie. The science that's in there is good and pure and perfect also. The history that's in there is good and pure and perfect also. Yeah. Your word is truth, Jesus said. Okay. Now, I know what you're thinking. As everything that I've said, you're thinking of something else. That, well, you know, what about this historical fact and this scientific? No, there's answers to those things. There's answers. And don't forget, we're talking about the originals that came to people. This is all about some other prophets. Problems with the text that we'll talk about another time. But a problem with the text does not deny the inspiration of Scripture. You've got to find out the answer to that problem. And there is an answer. Every time you look for it, there is an answer. So don't write this thing off just because you've had a problem every once in a while with it. No, it's true. God's word is perfect. It's pure. It's true. Let's find out what he said. And let's do it in our lives. Well, thank you for being with me today. And I trust that you'll come back tomorrow as we continue this study. We'll talk about, let me see what we're going to talk about. The testimony to the Old Testament inspiration. Some scriptures that are in the New Testament that testify about the old. And then we'll talk about the new at another time. Piece by piece, principle by principle, I want to have you believing that the Word of God is what it says it is. It'll change your life. Don't forget what we started with. All scripture is given by God-breathedness, inspiration of God. Amen.